song, killing me softly.
I really got deep on that one.
With his song, telling my whole life.
Can you do that through your nose a little more?
Like that? Really nasally, I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. You ever have to sing that song in wrestling?
No, is that a thing? Maybe
so like,
we did.
On our midnight run, that's what we had to sing.
Yeah, I do remember
that.
Yeah,
fucking hell week and we're running.
Yeah.
And,
good times.
Not really, but welcome to New Day, New Movie.
The Indian M Podcast, where we watch 365 movies.
In 365 days.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Mitch.
And welcome to week 20.
Holy shit, 20
yes.
weeks, dude.
This is an interesting week, too. We say that every week. I don't know why.
They're always interesting.
They're always interesting, and they're always slightly different. And that's the beauty of this experience.
Yeah, I think a lot of my mentality is definitely from the events of the week, not necessarily just watching the movies. It's more of just like,
yeah,
how busy was I?
Yeah.
And did I lose my sanity? Probably yes.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Am I going to remember the movies to talk about them today? Maybe.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
But here we are.
Maybe go fuck yourself.
How you doing, man?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Dude, I'm pretty good. I'm making it through, and I think that's really all we can do at
day
this point.
Day by day.
Day by day. I think I've said. I don't know the words of that song.
I'm oh, that's the Warcraft episode in South Park?
Yeah.
Help to win.
Till you die.
Oh man. Well, a little preface to this week's episode. This is the first week that we are starting to try a new little rule. Mitch picks three movies, I pick three movies, and we have an agreed upon movie, which will most likely be the theater movie, just because that's how it works out. But we'll see how it goes.
Minus next week, obviously.
Well, yeah, next week we have our Oscars week, so.
Yeah.
That's been planned out for a little while now.
But now it's a little competition, which Scott will most likely win because I think he just picks better movies than I do.
I think I just...
He researches them a lot more.
I think I just pick movies that look like I want to watch, not movies that I just pulled up Netflix and was like, look, this is number one on Netflix this week.
It was only number four. So don't give it that much credit.
Anyway, but Mitch refuses to use the movies that we put on a list that we actually want to see and just randomly
select. How many movies have
releases.
I added to that list, though, Scott?
I don't know, but I thought that's what we were doing.
I know.
You're
I know.
Adding movies. I'm adding movies.
To be
movies.
Fair, there was a surprise this week, and I don't know if you felt it like I felt it, but I think I got a little, maybe a double play, maybe not the whole home run, but I think I was surprised with one of my picks this week.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. There's only one that I would think that it would be.
Good.
And I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I agree necessarily, but I'll give you a win on that one.
Hell yeah, boy. Hell yeah.
But back to my little scripted intro thing. And thus, to cease the frustration that I have with this method of filling the schedule, we've decided to try this new rule. Where we can each choose the way we please. As this is a partnership. And so we have the first week, here's what I called this. The first week of the Great Movie Scheduling Agreement of 2022, or the GMSA 22.
GMSA 2022.
GMSA 22 is our new law put into place for temporarily.
Is that the Great Mitch Scott Agreement?
Could be that as well. That works too. Look at that. I didn't even think of that.
Let's go.
It's so many applications for the acronym.
Just makes it work. Makes it work.
And with this, we will reveal who picked what movies, and we will continue from last week our little
point system.
Zero or one point system, because we kind of had fun with that.
That was fun.
And that seems fitting for this.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, before we get into it, though, you had news last week. I have the what's in the news. All right, number one. HBO Max added a bunch of great movies for the month of March. I don't know if you've seen this. Have you heard of this?
I haven't seen this.
I'm
have
channeling
not done
my inner Jimmy Vollmer.
Wow, what a great audience.
So it's called The 31 Days of Oscars, and it's a bunch of past Best Picture, Actor, Actress, Oscar winner, and nomination films on HBO Max for the month of March.
So we have to do this beyond just our Oscars week?
Well, I'm just saying, and it's from like, it goes back like the last like 50 years. Like there's some really good movies on there. So I think a lot of my picks will be coming from HBO Max.
All right.
Next.
That would be an interesting thing we could explore one week real quick, not to interrupt you, but like limit which ones we pick from.
Oh, like we're I just think that'd keep it interesting at some point.
Yeah. For just like this week, you have to pick three from HBO and I have to pick three from
Netflix. Oh, we could do a little
Netflix,
right? Because like we talked about, we could veto one movie.
Yeah.
For the month.
Or I guess it would be interesting to find.
So we could do like little power-up stuff of like, you have to choose three from Netflix.
Yeah.
Good luck.
At the screen. For points. Yeah, we'll make this a whole competition thing. Points at the end.
And it'll be just like
choices for a couple
weeks. Whose line is it anyways? And the points don't matter.
Yeah.
But you guys.
We're just trying to make it interesting for ourselves because I don't know if you know this, but it's been 20 weeks and we need to spice it up.
The spice melange.
Well, continue with your thing.
Okay. Number two.
All over the place today.
Sorry, I had to take a deep breath.
Oh, God.
Jason Momoa was cast as the villain for Fast and the Furious 10. Or as one of my students, Dom, would call it, fasten your seatbelt.
I think you've told me that before.
Anyways, no, but Jason Momoa was cast as the villain, which means he'll become part of the family as every other fucking villain has, right? So, welcome Jason Momoa to the Fast and the Furious family.
They're only villains because they haven't figured out that it's about family. When they do, boom. Right back to
not a villain anymore.
Not a villain.
Next, there's this thing called Netflix Tudum. Have you seen this? Have you heard of this?
Tudum?
Tudum. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Tudum.
It's like
what?
You know when you bought a DVD and it came with like all of the extras, like
features
yeah. and shit. Like this website does that for movies, and I only learned about it because of one of the movies on our week or on our list this week.
Really?
So The Weeknd Away, at the very end of it, if you watched enough of it, most people probably didn't, but if you watched enough of it, they were like talking about it, and it brings up this website, which is kind of cool. Let's see.
In the movie?
You have to go to the website. So,
but how'd you find out from the movie?
At the very end, it said like, you go to it, but it's this entire webpage that has like top stories of different movies. There's a little drop down menu talking about the most popular titles. You can like click. So like The Weeknd Away is right here. You click on it. It gives you the entire cast breakdown. It's like a little IMDb page a little bit, but it also has like featured interviews. It has trailers. It has all this extra information. Like Netflix is just so much bigger than I've ever imagined. Like they have like games on your phone, which I meant to mention
two months ago
in our podcast, and then I was like, that's kind of dumb, and I never
did. But still, it's something.
It is
something. Cool that they're trying stuff.
Maybe it's the whole ta-dum. I don't know. Netflix ta-dum.
I would think they would have gone with ta-da, but
maybe that was taken. Either way, I don't know if it's worth anybody actually checking out. I just thought it was interesting because it was something that was kind of pushed at the end of that film of like, for more special features, go to the Netflix ta-dum and you can see stuff. So I navigated there after my watch. And then as we already mentioned, my last bit of news for this episode is we are watching 7 of the Best Picture nominees for our longest week yet, 15 hours and 41 minutes. Next week, wish us luck.
Yeah.
And that's the news.
What's in the news?
News.
Now for the movies of the week.
Week 20. 20. 20.
And now.
Dude, we should hire a voice actor.
We should. I wish I could do any voice other than my own. Well.
Yeah.
Because right now it's like 20 degrees outside and lots of snow.
It's 20 degrees between her and me and it's 92 in Daytona.
Get the fuck out of my house.
I'll just see myself out now.
Dare sing Florida. Oh my goodness. Well, do you want to read them? Do you want me to read them?
If I didn't annoy Scott enough with my pitch this week, I will annoy him enough during this podcast, but I will read the movies of week 20. Starting off with my choice, The Kingsman, followed by Scott's choice, Killing Them Softly, then another Scott choice, Beyond the Black Rainbow, another Scott choice, In a Valley of Violence, my choice, The Weeknd Away, my choice, Fresh, and then closing out the week on Sunday, The Batman. I wish I just had that music playing for my life, dude.
The Batman theme?
Yeah.
The shortened Imperial March?
Pretty much, yeah. It's like four chords or something.
I don't even remember it now.
Either way, it was fantastic. I guess this makes it easy, right? We can each read our own movies.
Oh, true.
And then we can just maybe flip a coin for our unanimous one. So
that's not bad.
Starting off on Monday, The Kingsman. In the early years of the 20th century, the Kingsman Agency is formed to stand against a cabal plotting a war to wipe out millions. Scott, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Scott. You tried to warn me, and I didn't listen.
Do you want me to just start off and get through what I have to say?
I think you need to. I think this has been an entire week's worth of built-up tension, and you just need to release it.
I hate this fucking movie.
I think you hate the entire franchise. I loathed
the first one. Had no interest and did not see the second one. I think those are the only ones that exist. Is there a third one besides this one? I believe
this is the third one, okay, from my understanding. All right.
And I had no interest in this one either, and I would be better off not having seen it. So good start to the GMSA 22. Just kidding. Not about the movie, though. I hated it. The fucking score for this. Every goddamn second of this stupid fucking movie is filled with overly dramatic, overly loud, unnecessary, and unwarranted swelling fucking music. It's constant. It's constant.
I'm not trying to pick a fight with you. I just want you to get it out.
Fun note. The actual story of the assassination of Franz Ferdinand. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this. Cue Jimmy.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
The assassins blew a car up behind him. They fucked up. They blew the car up behind him. Then one went to the same sandwich shop where he went himself after the assassination to get a sandwich and was eating right there. Kind of mirrored in this movie a little bit, right? The other assassin after the botched assassination went to try and drown himself in the canal adjacent, and the canal was only 13 centimeters deep. So he failed at that also, and then he took a cyanide pill, which the cyanide pill didn't have enough cyanide to kill him.
Jesus.
Only induced vomiting, just like this movie. So, so there's a little history lesson
so
for
you. So it was fairly accurate.
It was fairly accurate. That whole situation was just as stupid as this movie. It just...
I mean, that makes me feel a little better.
Man.
But they did some research.
I tried. I tried to give it something positive, I guess.
If before that's positive. You got into the negative, yeah.
Ass dialogue. Edgy perhaps for a 12-year-old? I don't know. I'm not 12. Ass CGI. Ass cinematography. The fucking zooms. There's fucking zooms. Everything was a zoom in. Why? Zoom in. Zoom out. Zoom in. Dumb fucking transitions everywhere.
Maybe just
God damn it.
Hide all of the mistakes they made. I don't know. Maybe there's Starbucks cups left on set or some shit, you know?
Seriously, I could go on forever.
I think my biggest gripe was Rasputin.
You know what's hilarious?
That dude was fucking weird.
You know what's hilarious?
What?
So I looked up this movie. I don't even remember. I was talking to Jess, and this movie has the same rating as, I think, Spencer. Which is sad.
I think a lot of people shit on Spencer, unfortunately, which is kind of upsetting. Because we had another movie last week that was right within the same range. And we're like, this has no right being even in the same tier as Spencer.
The same? Yeah, what the fuck? But you know what was, you know, the funniest thing to me is the reason why this was as high as it was either people fucking loved it or people fucking loved Rasputin. He was the redeeming quality of this movie for people that said they did not like the movie, but Rasputin was a blast.
When he's sitting there, like, licking...
licking his leg?
Fucking leg and sucking the toxins out. And it just seemed like a weird fetish of a director. And I don't even know who the director of this film is, so I'm not going to put that on him. But it was just like, why does this need to even be in existence? Like, I get he's some weird kind of witch doctor and... God, it was just so awkward watching him do anything. I mean,
the choreography for the dance fighting, was at least like
kind of cool,
impressive enough the way they used it. But this movie just made my fucking balls itch.
So I have seen the first two. I don't know if there was a confirmed three before this. I have no idea. I'm not relevant on Kingsman history.
There's Kingsman.
I didn't loathe the first
Secret
one. I didn't think it was as bad as you thought it was. It was decent enough. Michael Caine was in it. He's
that's
good.
The thing in this movie though, because I love Ralph Fiennes.
Oh,
couldn't save this movie. Terrible. I even like, I can't think of her name, but she was in a bunch of stuff with
Gemma Arterton.
Gemma Arterton, mm-hmm. Yes. I like Gemma Arterton. Couldn't save the movie.
Okay, really quick, side note. Thought we need to get another person in on the podcast.
Charles Dance was in this. Sorry, yes, I just remembered that.
But we need to get another person in on the podcast who's just there to fact check us.
Yeah, yeah. We
just a little laptop person or like researching all the shit we have questions to.
Look this up, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, how the pros do it.
Yeah, that's how the pros do it. So that's what
we
need to do.
We're plebs. We do it ourselves. Or we just decide not to.
Not to look it up at all.
Does it really matter if we're right or not? This is how we feel.
No, I'm really sorry. I didn't expect it to be this bad. Obviously, it was bad.
It was more entertaining than Death on the Nile.
It's not saying much,
though. Is the best compliment that I can give it. That's what I'm saying. That's about all I got. I hated this fucking movie. Just me. It's just me. Just for me. I'm just talking about me.
I'm kind of with you there. I didn't appreciate this movie at all. I really thought back and tried to think of anything. Like, you at least had something good to say about it.
I tried. I sat and fumed for like an hour after watching this. Just like, just
that Pablo Escobar meme.
I skipped
dude,
half of my
me thinking about what to say good about the Kingsman.
A cup of coffee out the window, standing by the pool.
Yeah. It's fine. It's over. It's done. We never have to watch it again. And Tuesday, one of yours.
Well, hold on. You forgot what we're doing now.
Oh, point system. 0 out of 1.
There we go. Tuesday.
You agree? 0 out of 1?
If I could give this movie negative points, I would. But
you can't.
We can start at -1 this week.
Try to build our way up.
But no, I give this I wholeheartedly give this a 0.
Okay.
So, The Kingsman. Yeah, okay. Tuesday was Killing Them Softly. This was my pick. A Scott pick. A Brad Pitt pick. I was trying to rhyme, but that wasn't clever at all. Jess, take that out.
No, I don't think I will.
So Tuesday was Killing Them Softly. This was my pick. So 3 amateurs stick up a mob-protected card game, causing the local criminal economy to collapse. Brad Pitt plays the hitman hired to track them down and restore order. Brad Pitt, James Gandolfini, Ray Liotta.
Kristen,
enough said.
Kristen pretty much was like, this is acting royalty on the screen right now.
Yeah.
And that's because she's like a huge Sopranos fan. Like,
yeah.
So, really? And then you add in Brad Pitt to the mix and it's just like, it was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
It was a very good movie. Would you like to start? I started last time on your pick. I don't know how we do this, but if you want to talk.
Yeah. We can have a conversation.
Have at
right?
it. Yeah. No.
With a lot of movies, right? I never know what to expect because I don't do any research on them. So I didn't really know what to expect going into this one. Chris and I were watching it, and then all of a sudden, like, familiar faces started popping on the screen, and I think that made it more enjoyable for me. Not saying that I didn't enjoy myself anyways, but just to see, like, Kristen light up at, like, seeing all these familiar faces, she was so excited, and so that made me excited, and I was like, yeah, let's do it, mob, yeah, let's fucking go. It's just like, don't cross the fucking mob. Just don't do it, you know? Like, yeah, Ray Liotta kind of had this inside job and then fucks over his own guys to steal some money and then, like, ends up bragging about it later on. So some amateur guys are like, hey, now that we know he's done this, we can do this and pretty much put the blame on him and we can get away scot-free. And that's not how that shit works. Like, they're going to figure out who took their fucking money, and they're going to...
Well, that's the crazy thing, is that's kind of how it worked, but also...
Kind of not, yeah. No, I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was really good. I love anything kind of mob-related, card games. Like Rounders is one of my favorite fucking movies, just people playing cards. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just all of that is kind of really intriguing and interesting to me. Besides that, I really don't have a lot to say about this movie, just because it was good, but it's not like, I can't think of like talking points really of what came out of the viewing for me.
So I'm curious if this jogs your memory at all, but I really enjoyed the cinematography of this movie. The Mickey hit scene, Ray Liotta, like the slow-mo, bullets in the car, the glass shattering. I thought all of that for, I think this is a 2012 or 2013 movie.
2012.
Yep. So I thought all that looked great. And that whole scene with the music and the, like, I don't know. It was just...
Yeah, they just, like, Brad grinning. Pitt rolls up and just, he's like, all right.
It just fires like two clips.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the whole thing, Ray Liotta, like, you know, he's pretty much dead, but kind of slumps over, puts his foot on the gas or lets off the brake, and he rolls into the intersection and then gets fucking plowed
by like five cars. Yeah, it's like this crazy, massive
accident. It's all in kind of like slow-mo, and I thought that was great. The camera on there was one particular scene, but it used it a couple times, I think. There's a camera on the side view mirror of a car. So it'd be watching two people in the car having a conversation, and when one of them would get out, like Brad Pitt got out of the car with
the camera the would one guy follow and it with followed him, the
door.
Yes.
Like it followed the door, and then when the door closed again, you're back on the kid driving. And yeah, it was just like the way with the conversation and stuff. That was so fucking cool. I mean, other than that stuff, though, like the whole movie's conversations. It's like two guys in a car, two guys in a room, two guys in a restaurant.
Just 10 guys playing poker, but only two guys are making demands as to give me your fucking money and keep your hands above the fucking table.
But like, the whole James Gandolfini being depressed and talking about sex and hookers and his marriage and whatever, and Brad Pitt just wants him to shut the fuck up. Or like the counselor and Brad Pitt talking about like fees and plans and like all of the like logistics of mob hits and shit that they're discussing.
Yeah, all the
and
shit that the has social to happen aspect of it behind the scenes for everything to kind of run smoothly. And
like the public angle, all the politics behind it too, talking about how they got to get rid of Mickey anyway, even though he's not the one who did it, but everybody on the street thinks he did it, so they have to show that they're punishing him regardless. Those like final few lines of the movie, do you remember those?
I don't. It's been a long week.
It was like all these people are friends, right? The counselor says this is a business of relationships, you know, like they're all friends. But it like what the money says dictates the outcome. Like it's all a business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the counselor says this is a business of relationships, you know, to Brad Pitt. And Brad Pitt's like, yeah, everybody loved Mickey. And I was like, oh. It's like, I don't know. Just all the quotes with Obama and Bush talking about shit, all the bullshit political speeches and stuff that they play throughout the whole movie. And it's just like, it's all bullshit. It's good.
And I think you brought up a good point as to why it's hard for me, I think, to really express a lot of things is, yeah, it was a lot of dialogue. It's just good mm-hmm. storytelling, and it's something we've talked about in the past of, you know, some of these qualities of a good film and, you know, good writing goes mm-hmm. a long fucking way, especially when you watch a string of shit movies that don't even have a script to stand on, you know? Like, you see the standouts, and it definitely makes for, you know, a good time. But nice pick. 1 out of 1 for me.
Are we doing cumulative of the week, or I think that's how we did it last week. I would give it a 1.
I'd give it a 1, so.
So we got 7 movies, so we're going to do out of 14, I guess. We each get a point.
Or do we average our 2 points?
Or
is
that what we did? Could. I don't remember what we did.
I think we averaged last week.
All right.
Because I gave a movie like a 0, you gave it a 0.5.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
So we each gave it a 1, so 1 out of 2.
1 for 2. We're 1 for 2 this week.
50%. Let's go.
50%. All right. So going into Wednesday,
yep.
Another pick of mine, Beyond the Black Rainbow. Spanning over 2 decades of research and innovation from the 1960s to early 1980s, the Arborea Institute, a secluded New Age commune and state-of-the-art research facility, and the pill-popping psychiatrist Dr. Barry Nile are particularly interested in their newest specimen, the female patient Elena. To begin to understand her mind-boggling telekinetic and telepathic abilities, the demented doctor keeps Elena heavily sedated and in a constant catatonic state. However, her capabilities are unfathomable. What are Dr. Niles' deeper intentions? In the end, could the Institute's utopian doctrine be flawed after all?
I hate that this is
could it
your pick. Because after watching Mandy, both of us really wanted to see this movie like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's been on our list for two years. And you just happened to find it on HBO Max.
I found it on HBO Max. I pulled it off of our list that I thought that we were making, but apparently just I'm making, which is fine. It makes my job easier.
I am adding a few movies, just not as many as you. I feel like you've done a deeper dive into things. But
well, I'll go through and just add stuff as I see stuff, and then I'll go back and just look through my list and see new stuff.
The advertisements get me. They just force it upon me, and I'm like, hey, let's watch that. Anyways, what a movie.
Did you like this?
I did. I did like this movie. Not as much as Mandy. Not even close to as much as Mandy. But I did like this. This was a straight acid trip for me. And it was like a very visually encompassing movie.
Yes.
Probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
I've had seizures in the past. And parts of this film, I kind of had to look away because there was a lot of flashing lights.
Mm-hmm.
Just to not accidentally... I don't remember seeing a warning at the beginning of like flashing lights, but there was a lot of like, and then I don't know. What'd you think?
I don't know. I think I would have to watch it again. I guess I'll start by saying I really struggled to get through this.
It was slow.
I really struggled to get through this. I fell asleep twice, but I was watching it kind of late and I have been exhausted this week. So the score of this movie was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I absolutely loved it, but that the score mixed with, it's kind of this like synth slow droning kind of stuff mixed with the droning machines, like machine whirring noises in the background, like the whole movie just set me up for like, to me, that's put me to sleep sounds, right? I don't go to bed listening to whales. I go to bed listening to the sound of my computer fan on or whatever. Like,
yeah,
it's like low droning noises just put me out. And I was not in a place of awake and alertness to watch this movie and not be put to sleep by it multiple times. But I did eventually get through it.
Yeah.
All same sitting. I didn't fall asleep for like ever, but you know, a few minutes kind of, I was like, oh shit, rewind it. But, It was very slow.
Yeah, it was a really slow movie. Everything even down to like the transitions in this movie are slow. Like,
yeah.
There's like 5 to 10 second cross dissolves for kind of like that double exposure look in this movie, and everything's just like
felt like a dream.
A little bit. It's felt like an acid trip. Not saying that I've ever done that, but it was very lucid. It was very hypnotic. It had this weird vibe to it, and the colors that were used throughout it were very bright and in your face, but at the same time, like, there was scenes that were all black and white too, which remind me of that 80s music video where he ends up, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, which one?
And I run. No, is it that one? No.
You talking about the like drawn one?
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Take on me.
Yeah, I had that kind of vibe at some point when he's like all covered in the black goo and everything's all like, it was, like I said, visually encompassing movie. Like,
yes.
I was just like almost overwhelmed by what I was seeing a little bit. I did like it though. I think if you take the weird parts of Mandy and you put them in this film, it's pretty much all of this film. And then you had that shot that
the
we talked about.
The first half of Mandy though.
Yeah, the first half, not like, before it becomes a slasher
this
film.
This never gets to, which I guess I was kind of expecting with how slow it was in the beginning. Or I guess, and again, like I said, I was so tired that I was kind of hoping that it picked up just to keep me, because I was really fighting the warm, comforting embrace of slumber. But it just never gets going. Not even necessarily.
Even the death at the end is kind of a little underwhelming, right?
Yeah.
He like gets his foot trapped because of her telekinetic powers and then sends him hurtling his head into a rock. And you know what they say, rock is the strongest of the three of paper and scissors. So there we are. I told you I'm going to get you.
Who fucking says that?
I did when I watched this movie. I did. And I repeated myself just now.
We are so unfunny tonight. Jesus.
Just tonight?
Got him!
Fuck.
This hit had that scene you liked from a movie, though, where the guy's looking over and he's driving the car and he's staring at, like, I don't know if you caught that. mm-hmm. on your third watch through.
It was only like twice. And it was only a couple minutes. Like, it was just kind of like, what's going on? Oh, shit. I passed out. I struggled. And so I really don't know, because with that, in the mindset that I was, or the state of consciousness that I was, it really felt, I don't know how much to the credit of the movie, the whole dreamlike experience of watching it was, and how much was to me literally being at the cusp of
falling asleep,
awake and asleep.
See, I watched this like when I woke up, like I had a cup of coffee as I watched this. Yeah, I was very awake, very conscious of everything. So it was easier to watch and get through.
This is something I would definitely rewatch in the future, though, to see. Because I don't feel like I got a good enough experience with this to actually say whether or not I liked it. Because I like what I saw of it, but I don't know what I saw.
I get that, yeah. And you know what I mean? Even watching it, too, like, it was a very obscure movie. There was a lot of weird shit in this movie. It's a lot of, like, either series of images or imagery, lighting. And I'm sure there's so much purpose behind every single shot in this, which I will probably never get to the depths of understanding, because I'm not too much of a symbolic person, but I'm sure there's probably a bunch of symbolism behind even the colors being used. I wonder if this inspired Stranger Things at all. And the reason I say that is you have this telekinetic girl who's trapped in a facility, yeah, who's being watched, being over, you know, there's all of this or something at play, right? And then she breaks out at the end to go, and I don't know, like, and this is before Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what year was this? Was this another 2012, I think?
2010.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Which is interesting, because, like, when I was watching this, and Kristen happened to glance over, she's like, is this from, like, the 90s or early 2000s? And I was like, take a guess. And she's like, okay, late 90s. And I was like, oh, well, this is actually from 2010. Like, they made it look very dated, and a lot of the technology that was used was more of, like, that VHS style. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, aesthetic. So, I don't know. I personally would give this a 1.
I don't know. I feel like I got to split the difference.
0.5.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with a 0.5, which is just going to average to a 1.
No, it would average to a 0.75.
Oh, yeah, we are doing that kind of split, huh? Yeah. I was thinking like 1 and 0. 0.5 is just a 1, so.
Oh, you're giving
0.75? No, I'm saying,
if you gave it a 5, I give it a 1. It's 0.75.
Right. I'm saying if we were averaging or like rounding.
So 1.75 out of 3.
Is that, I guess that's good compared to last week.
I don't remember last week. It is gone forever, a memory, until I listen to it tomorrow.
You're right. I just tried to think about last week, and I just remember Death on the Nile. And that was, I think, Monday, right? So it's got to be
Tuesday.
Better than...
Yeah, Monday.
Whichever day.
Tuesday. Yeah, because Monday was Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right, we're off to a better start this week than last week. Can't definitively say now. So Wednesday.
Thursday.
Wednesday was
Thursday, actually.
In a valley of violence. This is another of my
the valley
picks.
Of the shadow of valiance.
I take a look at my life and realize everyone's dead. Everyone did die. Anyway, a mysterious stranger and a random act of violence drag a town of misfits and nitwits into the bloody crosshairs of revenge. That's the best synopsis we could find.
I have a better one.
Oh.
It's a Western John Wick.
Well, yeah.
That's really all you need to know.
Yeah. They killed his dog. He killed them.
Enough John said. Wick. John Wick, yeah. The spaghetti John Wick. Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, let's talk about the cast real quick.
It's pretty big. So John Travolta, Ethan Hawke,
Thaisa Farmiga, Karen Gillan.
Yeah, I was.
What was the other guy? I can't think of his name from something.
The drunk at the very beginning. Is that who you're thinking?
Oh yeah, him, the Irish.
Yeah,
the Irish priest, the guy who was in opposition to his group but was peer pressured.
I got the list. James Ransone. I don't even know if that's right. That was the son. That was Gilly. Who are you thinking of?
Like the third henchman guy. The one who was kind of against the whole thing.
Oh, yes.
The only one with redeeming qualities.
But Bern Gorman, who I was thinking of, is the priest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So a Western movie with Ethan Hawke and John Travolta.
Yes.
I really don't know if I liked this or not. I was kind of eye-rollingly chuckling at the end of this. Like, it was so stupid. Like, the John Travolta getting, like, the John Travolta death scene was just, like, so stupid over the top. He took, like,
15 bullets between him and...
And it was all... Yeah, I don't know. It was, yeah, it's just...
And his fucking body is, like, shaking.
It was so overdone. Very dramatic. The dialogue in this, I thought, was just crap.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
The dialogue in this was not good.
Okay, let me back up. Oh. You remember the production? Who did this?
Ty West?
The studio that brought you this movie.
Oh, no.
So that was my first thing when we were watching this, is like it loaded up. This is a Blumhouse film.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, Blumhouse Western. Yeah. I mean, that's really kind of what you need to know going into.
How did I pass that up?
This is a Blumhouse Western movie.
But it's Ty West, so you would think, because like... Ty West is responsible for the likes of House of the Devil, VHS,
yeah,
The Sacrament. Mm-hmm. There are others, but he's ABCs of Death. We haven't seen, but I've heard a lot about it. I don't know. That's a name that I had heard before from certain things, and I was interested to see this movie, how this movie ended up, and I just don't know, man.
So I guess my thoughts on it is, number one, I never liked seeing animals being harmed in a movie. Yeah. So like even that scene, I was just, don't show it. But then he like stabs the dog with a knife and I'm like, come on, man, I didn't want to see that shit. Fuck that guy.
They gotta make you hate him. Yeah,
kill him.
So that the revenge is satisfying.
Yeah, the revenge is satisfying. I think Ethan Hawke was way too modern in this movie.
That's what I was gonna say, like, off of talking about the cast.
Was not great being cast in a Western.
No. I think a lot of people in this did not fit the role that they played.
Yes.
It was a decent cast, and I think they did like an okay job for them, but Ethan Hawke did not fit in this
Karen
movie.
Gillan did not
Karen
fit.
Karen Gillan did not fit in this movie. And I would even say John Travolta, despite doing a surprisingly decent job.
He was my favorite, I think, of the movie.
I still feel like he just didn't fit. But I didn't hate him. Like, if it was just him in this and everybody else kind of...
I liked his role in the film as, like, the town marshal who has this dumbass son who's always trying to pick fights and just a piece of shit. But yet, like, it's still his son. So, like, he's going to do everything to protect him because he's his father.
But that was the thing, is I thought they never really took a stance on... Like, they tried multiple times to kind of paint him as he's running the town poorly and he's, like, he's an asshole himself. But they never really show him do anything in the movie being that much of an asshole. You're almost kind of sympathetic towards him to a degree. And so I thought that was really weird, where him dying at the end wasn't like a... I don't know.
You don't really know how to feel about him, right? Yeah, it's like, felt weird. It definitely seemed like he had a presence and people were intimidated by him, like you said. But even then, like, it didn't seem like he meant well, right?
I don't know. They just didn't show enough or say enough or whatever to make me really buy into, this guy's a fucking prick. He's just kind of a dad, but he doesn't have a handle on his son, and his son's a prick.
Yeah, his son's a douchebag.
But, like, it almost felt like a parody of a Western at times. And I think that's what made it even more out of place for Ethan Hawke and a lot of the rest of the cast, yeah. Really. Yeah, it just, I don't know. That's at least the way I kind of justified some of the stupid parts of my head. Did you get that vibe at all? Where it was almost like, I was almost a parody.
Like making fun of itself.
Yeah,
almost.
It was like a... Like an overly extreme version of, like, this is a Western and these are the things that Westerns are known for, but we're going to make them in a goofy way because we're self-aware that Westerns to the extreme are pretty goofy. Like,
I get it. Yeah. And
I don't know that
the problem is that, like, Blumhouse was just tackling stuff that was way outside of their comfort zone. Like, I'm not expecting Blumhouse to come out and, like, do a Western. Like, I'm expecting Blumhouse to do, like, current day
shitty horror.
That's a better way to put it. Shitty horror movies. Right? So to even like approach this, I'm sure it was like a big challenge, but you get this big ass cast behind it. Maybe you're just banking on them to make it good. I kept looking at Karen Gillan and I'm like, she's not in a jungle. This is weird. You know? And I don't want to typecast her.
No.
But like,
but she still just didn't.
She's,
I don't know,
not cut out for the Western. Like, she even tried to put on an accent, right? Like, it was just Nebula in Avengers. Mm-hmm. Like, I forget a lot of the times that's her, but that's because she does such a good job playing that character. And
yeah, I don't know. I guess between that and like back when I used to watch some Doctor Who, was when she was on it, Doctor Who days. Yeah. So I just know she's Scottish, and that's just the only voice that I
know her.
I want to hear out of her
mouth. Scottish accent. I don't know. I think this has a lot against it. I think, like, number one, you're going up against John Wick. And I'm not trying to say that, like, John Wick's an excellent movie, but, like, that's kind of the statement piece of, like, you killed my dog, revenge movies. Yeah. So if you're tackling that approach, number one. Number two, like you said, the writing wasn't great. I don't even think the studio that brought this movie kind of knew what it was doing when it put it all together.
Yeah.
Because it's way out of their spectrum of what typically they sell. I don't think it was a zero on my scale.
I found myself enjoying most of it, mm-hmm. I think. I mean, the only other thing was the pacing, specifically in the third act, I thought was really weird. Like, right when it finally started to be kind of a snowballing effect of the revenge and people start dying off, it would stop almost completely. And you had the whole John Travolta's looking at Tubby or whatever they called him.
Get out of the fucking window.
Yeah, that but was like they sat there for like 10 straight minutes. it was like a minute long countdown from five.
Yeah.
Five.
Get out of the window.
Four.
Tubby, you gotta move away from the window. Don't call me Tubby. I'm not even that big, and I eat less than the rest of you.
Three.
Get out of the window.
It's just like, what the fuck? Come on. Like, just go. It just stops.
And then finally, so weird. He gets killed because he's standing in front of a window.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good, I guess. But yeah, just, I don't know. Get to it already.
Figured it.
I felt like it was trying to drag it out for suspense, maybe, and it just didn't really work for me, but I don't know. I don't know the intention. Overall, I wouldn't say it's unwatchable or anything. I like I said, I was enjoying myself most of the time, I think, so I suppose I'll give her a one.
Wow.
No? Not a one?
I just, thinking of how you talked about this movie, I wasn't expecting a one from you.
But I guess I only addressed the, I don't know, like you said, it had a lot kind of working against it. And it was, all those things were very noticeable. But if I think back to it, like, no, if someone put it on, I'd probably sit and watch it for a little bit at least. Or whatever.
I'm at like a 0.75 on this one.
I think that's more appropriate.
I'm on a 0.75. Again, like,
but didn't we say at some point, we're already breaking it, because didn't we say zero or one? Like, that's what my head, I guess, what I was trying to think.
If I had to give it between a zero and a one, it would be a one. It's not a movie. I should
stick with that.
Okay.
So where are we at? We're one for three. I gave Beyond the Black Rainbow a 0.5, which I would say is a 1. So I'll give it a 1. I didn't regret watching it. It wasn't like, I mean, if you're comparing it to The Kingsman, then it's a fucking masterpiece.
So I'd watch it again to take a nap anytime. No, yeah. In between.
Yes.
All right, I think then then this is a 1.
Okay. So we are 3 for 4.
On Thursday, we watched The Weekend Away.
This was on Friday. Get it together, guys.
Two best friends, Kate and Orla, who have overcome personal setbacks, and no matter what life throws at them, they always look forward to their annual weekend away. This year, they are on a trip to Croatia, and everything is perfect until Orla wakes up to find Kate missing, with only a fuzzy memory of the previous night and the police not helping. Her frantic search uncovers devastating secrets closer to home. Bum, bum, bum.
Bum. This sucked, man.
Well, it's number 4 in the world on Netflix, Scott. So how bad can it be? Really fucking bad. That's how bad it can be.
It's fucking sucked.
This movie was garbage. Holy shit.
This somehow felt like a Taken movie. I don't know how, but I got like just the foreign country and just people doing all their shit on their own and everybody doing the dumbest shit. But like,
see, I got Beckett. You remember Beckett?
Yeah, this was, Beckett had kind of a redeeming atmosphere to it.
But she still had to do all of the investigation herself, right?
Yeah, you're right.
So, like, this is the same thing.
Maybe Beckett did really well. That was Netflix, too, wasn't it?
That was Netflix, too.
So maybe Beckett
did. That one just took place in Greece, and this one takes place in Croatia.
Cool, we got a license to film in Croatia. who wants to shoot our next Beckett.
I'm getting really sick of these studios, just like really just like, here's a visually stunning place and now we're going to put a movie in it. And
that did seem like as far as I got with this. I don't know, man. I feel like there's people that would enjoy this.
I think so. And this is based off of a book too.
Is it really?
This is our second movie based off of a book.
This week?
Yeah.
What else was based on a book? Oh, Killing Them Softly
Killing
was.
Killing Them Softly was based
That's
off
right.
of
That's right. I remember singing that.
Yeah. I had to think back to see if that was the one. But yeah, this is...
I would rather read that than The Weeknd Away.
I don't know. This is a movie that, like, they try to force every single character in it to be a possible suspect. There's a twist every fucking 10 or 15 minutes. Nobody is supposed to know what's going on.
This is like if you really just
think about it, you're like, okay, that person did it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The final twist you could see from Mars.
Yeah.
It's like the most obvious shit. Yeah. I was like,
not surprised.
Oh, they actually did that? Okay. That's what I figured from the beginning.
Oh, it's her husband who's having an affair with her best friend, yeah. And he killed her because he doesn't want to ruin his marriage.
But we totally got you because we told you that it was the cop guy who...
tried to seduce her, and she passed
up. And even though somehow they have footage that they show her on the like pier or whatever where she fell off,
but
they couldn't ID the guy, so they just
his back was to the camera the entire time.
It's just fucking. That's not how nothing in this movie is how fucking cops work, or investigations or anything. And also, this is not a movie for me. I guess this
was not a movie for us.
Like I said, because I think that this is like the. There's like two types of mystery movies. There's like a real
whodunit
brain fucker, mind fucker of a mystery going on. Or there's we have fabricated every inch of this mystery and we're going to just show you over 90 minutes. Or 82 in this case, I think. Thank God this was short.
It was pretty short. But it felt so long.
It did. It did. It felt very long. And I have here, having fairly recently watched that HBO Max show, The Flight Attendant. I don't know if you've seen of that with Kaylee Cuoco, whatever her name is.
Kaylee Cuoco.
Sure.
Flight Attendant one.
Yeah. Yeah. The Flight Attendant, that show. Having watched that, I watched it when it came out, and it's kind of similar to this. From perspective, I guess. And that was just so much better and had so much more style and interesting things. And this was just poop. I don't know, man. It sucked.
As the kids say, this is dog water.
This is dog water. That's what they say. I like that.
Yeah, this is dog water. Yeah,
this is dog water.
I'm on the IMDb page, and one of the top reviews is Hitchcock does Lifetime Channel. Whoever wrote that review
has never seen a Hitchcock movie. Yeah. They've only heard of them.
They're like, Hitchcock. Giving this movie 2 stars or calling it terrible or reviewing it after 33 minutes is what's really stupid. This is a B movie with a luxe locale.
So, yeah, if that's what you're looking for, that's what it is. If you want to go and you want to see things of Croatia and you want to relate to someone who's like having a bad marriage and finds a hunky...
taxi driver
from wherever he's from,
Syria or
Syrian taxi driver.
Is that
a hunky
right?
Syrian taxi driver. I think that's right.
Yeah. I do not care for hunky boys. What do I?
And has to go on a mystery hunt to find out what happened to her crazy friend that everybody thinks did it to herself. And the cops are bad. That's a really popular thing these days, right? Cops bad in movies.
Man,
we'll get to that later in actually the next two movies, I think.
I don't know. This wasn't for me. It's definitely not for you. I threw it on there because it's just good to throw on the top movies of Netflix, man.
Why? Why is that good?
Mitch, use the list.
This movie, the day we watched it is the day it came out. So. Right.
So how do you know that it was number 4 when you picked it?
When I went to watch it, it was already number 4.
Oh, well, yeah, because it's new. Because some people just have Netflix and watch whatever's new. But when you're us and you have to watch a fuck ton of movies, you can choose. You can be a little choosier, I think.
A little choosier,
but,
yeah.
You know. You do you, boo. That's why we're doing this. But I give this a zero.
It was only 89 minutes.
Didn't save it.
So I'd give it a one. I'm kidding.
You just said it felt so long, too. This is zero. I told Jess that, too. I said that after, and she was like, that was seriously only 89 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
It's like, yep. It really was.
89 minutes, so.
It felt like a two-hour movie, my guy.
0 for 2 for Mitchell this week. Can he bring it around, though, on Friday?
With?
Or Saturday? Friday?
Friday.
This is the point in the podcast where Friday. The boys realize they fucked up.
We only have two movies left, right?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. What?
Is this our Saturday film, though?
Oh, shit. So did you say Thursday before the weekend away? Because I told you to say
Don't
Thursday.
Try to blame this on Mitch. I see everything.
I think we've been saying these wrong. Whatever. It's too late now.
We messed up our schedule, so.
Yeah, it's too late now. Just whatever.
Our next movie of the week was Fresh, the new Hulu film.
She's fresh. Like those King Supers commercials. You seen this? Fresh as a summer breeze.
Fresh is the horrors of modern dating seen through one young woman's defiant battle to survive her new boyfriend's unusual appetites. So her boyfriend's a cannibal who runs this like black market cannibal listed.
Wait, I thought we were going to do like the movie did. I thought we were going to talk about this for 33 minutes and then tell them what movie it is and what it's about.
Okay, first off, I have that in my notes. I'm really digging movies that have late title sequences.
What else has a late title sequence?
Mandy has one like over an hour plus into the film. Climax has a late title sequence.
Climax did?
Yep. I love this, like, the movie actually starts, like, later. Like, they set the exposition up. This one was a long fucking exposition. This was, like, 33
minutes. 33 minutes into the movie.
I and
paused
I love
it
that.
And looked.
I love that.
That's a bold move.
33:20. Yeah, I paused it, too. And I was like, look at you. But I think that's really interesting because, like, maybe you hook some people with, like, this intro of more of this, like, romantic comedy style film. Yeah. And they're watching it. And then all of a sudden, like, Fresh pops up. She's drugged. And now she's waking up chained up in his basement. And now he's going to start sawing her ass off.
But I feel like you would do that anyway. And I don't think people tend to wait until the title sequence to decide whether or not. Like, if that was a thing where everyone had to, like, if you had to watch a movie, it was a universal rule for mankind where you had to get to the title sequence before you decide whether to turn off a movie or not.
I'm just saying, though, like, the fact that, like, one third of this movie built up without even revealing anything about, you know, the Winter Soldier.
I know, he got a much better mechanical arm in this one. Yeah, it was interesting, and it definitely renewed my interest in the movie temporarily,
but not permanently,
because I hated everything up to the title sequence. Like, I was playing balloons on my phone in the background. I did not like it. I was super fucking annoyed. And so I will say, overall, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. And with your two other picks this week, I will be honest, I was dreading watching this, going into this, so that may have set me up for disliking it already, but I expected the worst, and I was surprised when the twist happened, but like I said, at least it got interesting, mm-hmm. where it was not to me, but I kind of want to get into a little discussion with this movie on movies that are made for a specific viewer.
Okay.
Which I feel like some of the discussion we've had in other movies, especially the one we just talked about, The Weekend Away, that's a common thing, but it stands in direct contrast of the distaste we have for the mass market, the mass appeal movies lately. And so I respect this movie for that, but that's what I feel this movie was. I feel this movie was for a very specific audience, and at least the message that I got out of it, and I did not relate, and I did not understand it, and it just didn't work for me. Does that make sense?
I'm just trying to figure out, you got a message out of this movie?
Yeah, so...
You don't want to say, you don't have to say.
So the whole... No, I mean, so the whole... there were just things in this movie that were really stupid. Maybe we start here. There are just things that took me out of it that I'm just not the person this was for. That's what kind of gave me that mindset. The whole push for her friend's skepticism was him not having social media was like a big thing in the movie, right? That's a reason to be weirded out. And the whole date scene at the beginning, like, just felt so... If you are a woman, I don't know if I'm going to regret saying this or not, but if you are a woman and you are on a date with somebody like that, get the fuck up and leave. Like, why? I don't know. I just, okay, it just so seems so unrealistic to me.
Because you've been in a relationship for a long time. Well, that's the thing.
That's what I'm saying. This is for someone. This is not, like, I couldn't relate to this situation.
I know people who are in these situations. Like, that is dating right now.
And
these stupid fucking apps that people use.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, why are people using these? I don't understand. And, like, that's, like you just said, I'm not in this world. I'm not dating. I'm done. Right. And I'm content. So happy. I don't envy any of you who have to go through this at all. But what I don't understand, and I get also dating through the pandemic and, you know, things have changed a little bit maybe with that of social stuff, but I would never date online. I would never do anything with people that I like just randomly met. That's just not me.
So I think a lot of people tell themselves that though, and then they hit a point where they're not meeting people because they either the people they hang out with are already in relationships or they're just, you know, like, I think that's really what it comes down to, right? And
I think there are some people that are more, maybe the more outgoing of us on the planet, you know, don't mind going and just randomly meeting.
So this is funny though, because you brought up a good point about like, you know, you didn't understand the whole like skepticism about like social media stuff. But when like Kristen and I were watching this, it was really funny because I asked Kristen, I was like, did you run into any of these problems like when we kind of started dating? Because I really don't have social media at all. Like,
neither of us do.
I barely have a Facebook.
That's why we don't know how to do this.
That hasn't been updated since like 2012.
I don't even have that.
It's there, but I don't use it and I don't have anything else. And she's like, yeah, like my friends wanted to know who you were and to see you. And I couldn't really show them anything because you don't have any online footprint. And obviously there's a reason behind it. Like I don't have social media mainly because I'm a teacher. Like I don't need to
It's just not a reputation that you want to have to control your online presence.
Yeah. I just like, it's just one easy thing to just not have. And I'd never have to worry about any of what could come with, you know, social media.
Sure.
So that was kind of funny when we were watching this and, you know, she was like, yeah, I kind of, you know, I wanted to show people. And she said mainly her mom wanted to like Instagram stalk me or something. And I was like, oh, well,
I know.
Don't have an Instagram. Sorry.
That's so great. Like, I don't know. And that's why I'm not knocking this movie because I genuinely just didn't get it. I feel like this movie.
Yeah, you're right.
Was there, relatable for people.
For a lot of people, just not
and
you.
I didn't. This was not made for me. I didn't get a lot of it. I have my thoughts on social media and I'm not dating in modern times. So I really don't. I mean, if that's really what it's like, Jesus, I'm sorry. That sucks. But also, like, you know, that's why it's hard for me to speak on it because it just seems so extreme. But like that whole situation, like talking to Jess about it, because she said she's had her having an online presence, like the whole Tinder thing,
mm-hmm.
where she comments about his dog or whatever. And the guy's like, oh, what are you wearing? You know, and sends her a dick pic or whatever. Like that shit, I buy that shit because the internet is a fucking cesspool. And it's not somewhere where I think that people really should be social with people that like Facebook to me has a purpose. I don't subscribe to that purpose, or at least it used to.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now everything's fucked and we can't really, this is way too big of a conversation to get into over this fucking movie or on this podcast. But like,
what's crazy too is like this movie is about people who eat people and yet we're focusing on the first 30 minutes.
You're right. That's the thing. That's why I think that's why like the actual interesting part of the movie fell so flat for me was just because I felt it was all in service of this kind of social commentary. And like, so tell me about at the end, because you said you didn't get a message or you said, you know, ask me what, insinuating you didn't get a message like I did. So like the last, how did you take the ending where the dickhead from the beginning texts her? Like I first kind of thought about it, like what are they trying to say in the context of this movie with everything else they've said? Because it's obviously another, which I don't know, this is a sticky thing to talk about, but I'm getting sick of movies generalizing stuff, but I don't think I don't think this movie did that necessarily. I don't think this movie is guilty of, that's what I was trying to say. Okay. I don't think this movie is guilty of doing that necessarily because, and that's what I was going to say, the redeeming quality of this movie is because it wasn't trying to be mass appeal while giving a really specific message. And I think we've seen a few movies, like I think that's a thing where they try and generalize stuff to audiences. And that's why this made it feel more niche to me, where I didn't feel included. And I don't have a problem with that, because it generalized things, assuming that its audience relates, is so, how I felt.
So Chris and I had a conversation about it because she thought the cell phone at the very end was like the wife's phone, and like the wife had also been doing weird sadistic shit like this on the side as well, and meeting people and bringing them back. And I was like, no, that's the girl's phone. That was Chad from the very beginning. That was Chad
from the beginning.
You know, the douchebag at the very beginning who didn't hold the door.
Scarf wearing motherfucker.
Yeah, what a piece of shit. Fuck that guy.
Seriously, if you're out with him, if you get a fucking text from someone and they remind you.
Hold on. If you really want to break this down, right? And if you want to try to find a message, you know, like obviously a lot of people are going to these dating apps. Like some of them will probably find love. Like I'm not saying that it won't happen.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
But at the same time, there's also a lot of perverted people who are just going on there for a quick hookup, and you know, they're just trying to get laid, and there's all of these other mentalities behind what they're doing online, and maybe they're, you know, maybe they feel better behind, you know, a piece of technology than they do in person, so they're able to like present themselves in a different way, and I just whatever
think there are some people that don't need to be connected to the rest of the world.
But what I'm trying to say though is if there is a message you're trying to find, obviously, at the very beginning, we established that like meeting people online was not the way. And then we met somebody who, in person, who checked all of the boxes.
Was not the way.
Right? Who checked all of the boxes until we found out the giant fucking skeleton in the closet that he's eating. Okay? Because he's a black market human vendor human of
meat. Trafficker or vendor.
You know? Yeah. It's weird how they talked about product and they're talking about fucking people. Like, this is Melissa today. We're having Melissa's left breast.
Yeah.
It's a little chewy, but we've all had breast. Oh, you've saved the breast for last. Okay. Anyways, all puns and jokes aside, right? Like, I think they're trying to show like there's red flags either way, right? Either have like, you might meet somebody in person and it's all going to work out and it's going to be great. You might meet somebody online. It's all going to work out. It's going to be great. Or, you know, vice versa, like you're going to run into assholes online. You're going to run into like sadistic cannibalists in person. Probably not most of us, but I don't know. I think that it's just like trying to put things in perspective if you're really looking for a message. But I didn't take it that way. I looked at this as like a psycho horror film, which I was not expecting. Like I was pleasantly surprised.
Well, I knew it was going to get weird, but after the first 30 minutes, I thought it was going to get like as weird the 50 Shades of Grey direction or something, right?
That she was all going to be on board with his
special appetites or whatever was the synopsis, right?
Yeah.
Boyfriend's unusual appetites. The way that the movie sets itself up is going to be this, you know, I was waiting for like a 50 Shades.
He's going to drop like, hey, I have a weird thing that I like to do.
Well, especially after he's a doctor, they go to this thing and it's this nice, super, you know, and then she's there and she gets drugged and it's like, here comes the weird sodomy shit, you know, but no, instead there's not any deviant sex stuff. It's all deviant eating people stuff.
She does, as some people do, surprise. Is she buys into the fantasy for her own survival. And
well, I don't know. I just, for this, like Jess enjoyed it and she felt that some parts were relatable with some of the dating stuff and the online stuff. And she thought, you know, like it didn't strike her as too exaggerated or anything, but she did say that if she were on a date like that, like she would just fucking, like she wouldn't be there. And I just feel like if this was really representative of dating, if you're a woman or a man, because this works both ways, if you're on a date that's going like this, fucking leave. Like, I get it that it's shitty and you're, you know, if you're at your wit's end. We've all been there. I was there before I met Jess. Like, you know, I just haven't had to experience it in today's era of technology and things going on. But like, don't subject yourself to that. Like, why? have some respect for yourself.
Thank you, Scott.
That's my PSA for after watching Fresh. And if this is truly an accurate representation of modern dating, then stop with the internet. Stop with the, like, fucking take a step back. I get it. And I, coming from someone who's not single, like, I couldn't imagine being single, and I don't envy you at all. So
it's tough life.
You're not gonna
there.
You're not gonna take anything from me anyway.
It's tough life out there.
My two cents is, don't fucking put up with it, man.
Man, we got way deeper into that movie than I thought we ever would. But now I must know, one or zero.
I don't. This is where it gets interesting with rating. Because do you rate the movie on its merits for its intentions and intended audience? Or do you rate the movie on your own enjoyment of it? And I think if we were professional critics, I would say it's probably the first one, right?
Okay.
Or a combination of the two.
But I think back as to why we did this, and it is for our own enjoyment. So right. We're not the professional critics.
Right. Well, that's what I was about to say.
So this was...
We're us.
Based on our enjoyment of the film is, and where I am going to rate these films.
I didn't love this. I didn't even really like this. I continued to play balloons throughout most of the movie.
Jesus.
It's in the background. It's a great game to watch if you're doing something else, or game to play.
I give it a one.
Yeah, I guess we average at the end. I give it a zero. I don't know. I wouldn't watch it again. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it to anyone I know. But I'm sure it's good. Jess liked it, you know? I mean, if we were doing 0.5s, maybe I'd throw it a 0.5. But I didn't care for it. And a lot of the interesting things in it were overshadowed to me by the stuff that just didn't work for me. So
fair enough.
Is what it is.
What a discussion.
Yeah.
And Scott, since I feel like you were 3 for 3 this week, feel free to read the Batman for us.
Fair enough. I didn't just talk enough. Jesus. The Batman. When the Riddler, a sadistic serial killer, begins murdering key political figures in Gotham, Batman is forced to investigate the city's hidden corruption and question his family's involvement. Yeah. Robert Pattinson. Just fucking great.
From vampire to bat.
I really liked him in this. Zoe Kravitz was phenomenal. The guy who played Gordon, I always forget his name, but he's in so many movies and he's great in all of them.
Jeffrey Wright.
Jeffrey Wright. Yes. Jeffrey Wright. Phenomenal.
Speaking of other phenomenal, Colin Farrell as the Penguin.
What?
Yeah, dude.
No way.
That was Colin Farrell.
Are you serious?
Yeah, look it up. I promise you, I'm not bullshitting you, dude.
I believe you, but I didn't see it as Oz. Holy shit. I need to look up a picture of him now, but all they're showing me is Danny DeVito. Of course. No fucking way.
Yeah, dude, that's Colin Farrell.
That's insane.
Isn't that insane?
That is insane. I had no idea. That's incredible.
Yeah, I had forgot, because I remember they cast him as it, and I was
Did
like,
you
what
know,
the fuck?
Like, during the movie or before the movie?
No, going in and even watching it, I totally spaced that was even him. And then, like, I forgot, I think I was just scrolling some comments or something, and someone mentioned Colin Farrell, and then everything clicked again. I was like, oh, fuck, that was Colin Farrell. Like, he played the Penguin, and he doesn't look anything like himself. He doesn't sound like himself. And he was just such a, like, he was such a good Penguin. He was so good.
This article was an interview with Jeffrey Wright, and it says he didn't recognize him on set.
Who could?
That's incredible. It really is. I don't think even looking at a picture of him now, or if you told me there's someone playing the Penguin that isn't who they seem, I don't think I wouldn't have ever guessed.
Yeah, you can't.
That's insane. Wow. Well, and again, speaking of awesome, the real hero, the true hero of our theater experience was fucking Dolby.
It was.
Holy mother of God.
Dude, seriously.
The sound of the Batmobile.
That opening
shot.
That
whole reveal. Oh.
Oh. Dude, I loved how they revealed the Batmobile like they revealed Batman. It sat in the shadows.
Yeah.
It had this kind of like
And they've done that before.
Slow zoom in, and then all of a sudden you just hear the fucking engine roar.
Oh, you feel the engine. You feel the fucking engine in your seat.
Just everything.
Oh, it was so good. That whole chase scene was like so intense and incredible. And the sound was just unbelievable.
Seriously, this was such a, I mean, I had my gripes with it being 3 hours. I think they could have cut off like 15, 20 minutes and it would have still had the same effect to me. But there was,
I didn't think it felt that long.
It didn't
though.
Feel 3 hours, but I still, you know, looking back,
it didn't
being
need
like,
to be.
It's a 3 hour film. Like, do you really need a 3 hour film? Like, we already have a fucking 5 hour Justice League. You know, we don't need
it. It was four.
Well, after they forced him to make it four, it was originally five. Like,
yeah, we want the real Snyder cut.
Yeah, not that 4 hour bullshit. Come on. No, the 4 hour cut was much better than the other version of it. This was really good. The cinematography was beautiful.
Yes.
Sound design was absolutely incredible.
Incredible.
I love the neo-noir, like, detective Batman. Like, I love that he was doing investigative work and he was involved with everything.
This felt like Batman.
Could not look or feel more Batman.
This movie made you really feel like Batman.
A little bit. Like
IGN.
especially like, you know, through his contact lens. Those are your eyes.
Well, that's the, yeah, he actually did detective stuff. He actually did things where he had to think and work, and like no other Batman in recent years had to do that. It's just, he's a guy in a suit and he fights people.
Yeah, and you got like that at the end of this movie, right? You get the bam, pow, like you get the big fight scene at the end. But this, leading up to it, like, I think what I liked about this is like the younger Batman, you know, not the fully experienced Batman that we've come to know. Like, he makes mistakes. Like, there's things like, even his Spanish was a mistake. He misses punches sometimes. He gets his shit rocked when his fucking...
Oh, he just takes shotgun shots.
When his fucking glider... Fucked,
yeah. Oh, the
parachute
scene.
And he
yeah.
fucking just rolls...
Gets caught on the bridge and gets thrown,
I mean, there's things that, like, obviously, like, he's still new to being Batman. This is his second year, I think, is what they said of him being Batman. So there's, you know, he's still figuring things out. He's a rookie.
And it's still... He still gets himself. I did like the fact that he goes into a lot of these situations, like the badass Batman, no fear kind of thing. But you still see some panic and some desperation in some scenarios, like the parrot, like the, when he glides off the building.
Yeah, he's running.
That's his only choice. He's got to get out of the police building, and he gets to the roof, and he even hesitates for a second.
Yeah, he's like, kind of like scared of heights a little bit, and he's like, oh fuck, well,
it wasn't just a, you know, Christian Bale jumping out of a plane in a with a thing, the tether or whatever, in the third movie.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. Like, there's no consequence to any of it.
That's what I'm saying. In this one, like, he kind of got his shit rocked. There's things
grounded,
that he was still learning, and he that's exactly he. Very grounded, just not a lot of stuff in the air, you know?
Yeah, literally grounded.
Literally grounded.
Oh, man.
Paul Dano as the Riddler, I was a little skeptical of.
The end was weird. I heard you even laugh.
Dude, that shit was so funny when he's like, hey, guys, welcome back to the video. You know, like normal voice, like full of, like he's this like intimidating threat of a character and villain. And then he just has this fucking back alley YouTube channel with all of his followers. Like, hey, guys, you know, get your first month free if you subscribe, or, you know, if you type type in the chat, you know,
I'm surprised they
vengeance
didn't have him,
is, you know, something.
I'm surprised they didn't have him say, don't forget to like, subscribe, and ring the bell.
Yeah, you know.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I fucking love that, dude. It was so funny. And I think they played a good job of, like, let you know, like, does he know that Bruce Wayne is Batman or not? Like, in that interrogation scene. And then, obviously, it reveals that he doesn't know. He's not aware of it. But it was, like, some pretty good kind of build-up. And
yeah, well, I mean, they do that in the trailer for the movie, too. Because they play that Bruce Wayne. Yeah. So
Bruce
you think
Wayne.
You're waiting kind of for... well, he knows what's going on. And psych, he doesn't actually know. That was just a really well put together trailer to get you interested.
Seriously, though, dude, that Batmobile, I'm still blown away with that entire sequence of events. It was so good. I don't know. My dad asked me to rank them today. Who's
Batman
played them?
Man movies.
And he left some out, but I think he said like between Michael Keaton,
George Clooney.
He left George Clooney out.
Vote for me, Adam West.
Christian Bale.
Ben Affleck,
and then Robert Pattinson. How would I rank these? And
well, he missed number one, George Clooney.
I immediately said Adam West.
How do you know my language?
Adam West, top of the list. this was really good, and I think it was much better than any Ben Affleck Batman film that I've seen. I think this needs to develop more before I could confidently say how I think this compares to maybe a Christian Bale Batman trilogy. Because I think when I think of that as holistically, it's really hard to top that holistically.
That was we grew up with that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Which is the same thing with, like, we didn't grow up with Michael Keaton with the Tim Burton ones, mm-hmm. but we had the Batman Forever, right?
Yeah.
And we're overlooking Val Kilmer too, by the way.
I know.
Forgot about Val Kilmer.
I didn't forget about Val Kilmer for a second.
Sorry, Val.
Yeah, if you're listening out there, we're sorry, Val.
Sorry, Val. I don't know. I think this was one of the best representations of what I think a realistic Batman would be.
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't go into, and that's what I think suffered, the Christian Bale one suffered from, was if you think about it from a, you don't think about those from a realistic standpoint, but this one you can't, and it works. But those, he's got that eye thing that Morgan Freeman stares at, and it tells him where everyone is or whatever.
I'm glad you brought that up because in that one, like, Alfred is super apparent through those films. Like, he's kind of like the right-hand man. Whereas in this one, Jeffrey Wright, kind of took over that role of like leading the investigation.
Yeah.
And then, like,
you have more Gordon involvement.
Gordon, less Alfred.
Yeah.
Even though Andy Serkis is incredible.
Incredible.
I think that dude is like in the highest grossing movies of all time.
Yeah.
Across every platform.
Yeah. And you can't even recognize him in most of them.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed this a lot. I think appreciated the interactions that Batman and Riddler had throughout the film. I liked that the Riddler kind of, his motivations were derived from Batman. I thought that was a good motivation for him to kind of, he sees Batman as like somebody who, is trying to fight the crime in the city because they had similar motivations for what they were doing. So that reveal at the end that they didn't, and he just goes fucking batshit crazy. I thought that was really cool. Do you know who was supposed to be in that jail cell? Was that Two-Face or Joker?
I think it's supposed to be the Joker.
I had no fucking clue.
I think it's supposed to be the Joker. I actually wanted to look that up after, and I forgot.
At first, I thought it was the Joker, and then they like did a kind of a close-up on his face, and it looked like half of his face was all fucked up and scarred. So then I was like, is that Two-Face? But then he started laughing.
Yeah.
So then I got Joker vibes again, and I wasn't confident to say as to who are they trying to introduce.
I took it as the Joker up front, but now that you say that, I'm not sure. But I just figured, they've done the Joker with the actual physical deformities, right? And mm-hmm. So like if they're actually showing that, he didn't have the paint because he's in jail. He's in Arkham, but his face is still fucked up from falling into the vat of whatever, right? The whole Joker backstory. But let's see what the internet has to say.
They know everything.
They do know everything, except for dating. They don't know dating. Time. Time has an article on this. Crazy. No doubt playing Batman's greatest nemesis, the Joker.
Okay, so it was the Joker. Look at that.
Barry Keoghan? Who's Barry Keoghan? That sounds familiar. Anything but Jared Leto. Jared Leto's too busy being Marvel's Batman.
Oh, I know who that is.
Barry Keoghan? Or Kogan? Or...
He's in Dunkirk.
That's him?
Yeah, Green Knight.
Oh, yeah. I thought that name sounded familiar. I have mixed feelings about him. I really like him in some stuff, and I really hate him in other stuff. Seems like a good fit. I don't know. I'm definitely excited for more.
Yeah, I think I think it'll be interesting to see how the rest of DC's movies turn out this year. Because
this one I still separate, though.
You think this is outside of that DC universe?
Yeah.
And you're still putting Ben Affleck in that
The group? Whole, what's the Black Adam one with The Rock?
Yeah, Black Adam.
And then what's the other one? Oh, another Aquaman.
And a new Flash, right?
I just feel like if they try and incorporate this Batman into the other DC, the DC universe that's already substantiated with, you know, the Aquaman and the Flash and the whatever.
You know what's funny?
It doesn't fit.
You know what's funny?
What?
So, like, Marvel is now at the stage to where they're, like, doing multiverse stuff, and DC shot themselves in the foot by recasting, like, every single one of their characters over the last 5 years that they've essentially created a multiverse themselves, because they just, like, we have, like, 6 Batmans, we have 3 Jokers, we have...
We could have a into the Batverse.
Yeah, they just have a... They just have this entire multiverse of, like, people playing shit, but, like, there's not an official multiverse.
Could you imagine how terrible that would turn out if DC tried to pull a Far From Home?
Oh, and or pull No Way Home. Pull all the Batmans in.
Yeah. We got Michael Keaton,
Val Kilmer, Adam West.
But like, we could do a whole. Did
you
ever watch?
Can we get the villains, though, at least? Can I get a Mr. Freeze, Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, man, that would be fantastic. But you could even do something cool with like Batman Beyond, where he's. Like Michael Keaton's older now, so you don't have to put him in a suit, but he's like
the wise
the guy. Yeah, and he helps the young, you know.
Yeah.
When are we gonna get a real life Batman Beyond? Why isn't that a thing? They've made so many Batman movies. Like there's such an extended not universe, but I don't know. I just feel like DC's got plenty to pull out and they're just like
well, they've been playing
trying
constant,
to do
like,
the right thing on the one thing, but what they need to do is go for like the weird shit.
They need to stick to like Shazam. In Shazam, they got it right.
Yeah, when is that? There's a new one of those coming out.
There should be a Shazam
right?
2 coming out eventually.
I think this
yeah.
year, maybe not. But yeah, I enjoyed that.
I think they got it right there, which gives me hope for the Black Adam, because that's part of that same...
But it looks... The trailer makes it look like Zack Snyder, like Zack Snyder's DC Universe. It's that really like warm, overly orange filter over everything, and it's a really like dark... kind of shitty CGI, and I don't know. I'm not looking forward to that one. I'm sure we'll see it.
Yeah, I mean, if it...
I mean, we might as well. It's in theaters.
Falls into the schedule.
I think it does, right? I think it's coming out soon.
I think they addressed in the ads that all of those movies are exclusive to theaters, but HBO Max will air them 45 days after the release in theaters. So we are away from the HBO Max drops now for Warner Brothers stuff.
Why? It works so well with the Wonder Woman 19.
Anywho.
God, that movie sucked. Anywho.
One for me.
Yes, I would give this a one.
So. I don't know our total.
Yeah, maybe we should be keeping track of this shit.
Where's our point person?
We've got a rounded one. We got Fresh. We got .5.
Zero. Killing Them Softly was a one. Beyond the Black Rainbow, you gave it a one eventually, right?
Yeah, I think
two.
So. The Valley of Violence was a one.
3.
Weekend Away was a zero.
Fresh, you gave it a zero, right?
Fresh, I gave a zero.
3.5. So 4.5 out of 7.
4.5 out of 7. That's solid.
Here we are.
Compared to last week. Holy shit.
What was last week?
But didn't last week we got like, we didn't even hit. Oh, did we hit 3? No, I convinced you to bump your Fistful of Vengeance rating up to a 0.25 or something so that it would round up to a 3.5. So we got exactly half last week,
oh,
I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that
I believe.
Sounds right.
So we
but
did
in
better. Actuality, we didn't even hit half.
We did better.
But that's the week of movies.
Now I need to remind Scott for news about an editor.
Yes. All right. I guess we could just do it in the outro.
You could, yeah.
So... Quick little outro. If you had noticed, last week's episode probably sounded a little different and had a lot more meme energy. And that's due to last week just getting swamped and outsourcing our editing to Jess.
Woo, Jess!
Thank you, Jess. You're awesome. And a lot of your edits that I heard were hilarious.
Peachy Pit Art.
And I hope that... Yes, Peachy Pit Art. Go check her art out. She did our thumbnail and
She was a guest on our show.
Week five, yes, to be exact.
Some week.
We don't remember at this
fucking
point.
I wish I knew.
But she did the editing, and she enjoyed it so much that she may be doing more on and off. So we shall see. So look out for probably more interesting edits of episodes, because I have gone to just making us sound competent and not putting in audio as much lately, because it's been a struggle. But this could be nice, and it could be good, and I hope that you enjoyed the edit. And if you did, you can let us know on our Instagram. Can you do that on Instagram? We don't have social media, so you shouldn't date us, because we are weird, I guess.
Let us know on our Instagram there. Or
Twitter. You can comment on our Twitter, but we don't use that one. I don't know, man.
Shoot us an email. Someone we like emails.
I'll talk to Jess and figure out how social media works.
ndnmpodcast@gmail.com.
There you go. You can send us an email and say yay or nay, and then I'll break her the news. I'll break to her the news.
Please do not come for me.
She's liked or not. She's got to be liked. She's liked. Yeah, she did an incredible job. And I hope that you enjoy it. Anyway, without further ado, let's find out who.
We'll be giving a one reason. Or a zero on next week's movies of Best Picture nominees.
Next week, Oscar week.
Yeah, Oscar week. It's going to be a long fucking week, dude.
Should we vote our own best movie?
I'm going to vote my own best movie.
I think we've seen all of them after this week, except for maybe one.
Besides West Side Story, which I might just watch on my own.
Go for it.
I know you
will. It's not going to win my best picture, so I don't even have to watch it.
Right now,
they already made a
right
West
now,
Side Story.
Dune
Watch
is
that
at the top. Dune is at the top of my Best Picture nomination.
But we have seven that we need to watch. So.
Seven more.
Dune is the only one that we've seen so far, right?
There's another one. And Don't Look Up.
So Dune is the only Yeah, Dune is top right now. Dune's the movie to beat.
Yes, Dune is the movie to beat. But next week, check us out for Nightmare Alley, Drive My Car, Belfast, Licorice Pizza, The Power of the Dog, and King Richard and Coda.
Some interesting stuff on there.
Some long, interesting stuff on
there. Tune in next week on the NDNM podcast to find out what we thought. I hope you enjoyed.
Great outro. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. See you next week. What is that, a bird call?
I don't know.
I was trying to do
a Batmobile sound, and it came out with just...
That was a Batmobile sound.
Thank you.
Dolby.
Thank you.
Could you feel that in your earballs?
No, but my ass that got cut off and fresh felt it.
They would never take you. You got no meat.
How can you have any food if you ain't got no meat?
See you next week, folks.
Okay, bye.